I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, and you feel me? B Raw Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Ric Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my homegirl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all riding the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen back, baby, making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group. And I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, stop, mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Chocolate City Radio with your girl, Chalk Mommy. I swear, time has gotten the hell away from me. I was on the phone talking to Drag On, and I lost track of time. And I was trying to get off the phone and be up and prepared. Then I told my guest to call in at 9:30. I normally tell people to call in at 10. That gives me a chance to set the tempo and everything, but that's okay. She early, so she just gonna have to act a fool with me. Today we have a special guest. Her name is HD Spivey, and she is the author of a book. And oh my gosh. I think I'm going to fuck up the title. And if I do, she's going to come on and tell you about it anyway. I want to say Ebony the Beloved, but it's based on domestic violence. And this is good because last month was Domestic Violence Month. And I did a show about domestic violence because I'm a victim of domestic violence. And it's like so many women out there, when they hear one woman's story, that can help save a life, because you may be like, oh, I don't want to tell my business, or I'm embarrassed, or I'm ashamed. Never be embarrassed or ashamed about being a victim, because when you open up and share that with somebody, you're giving somebody the strength to open up their eyes and get out of the situation, because they look at you and your circumstances and see that you made it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and bring her on. Then we're going to talk. Then we're going to play some music. Then we'll come back and we're going to talk some more. And we're just going to cut the fuck up. Now, don't take what I'm saying the wrong way, because we're not making light of domestic violence at all. But at the same time, we're not going to have a sad show. Shit happens. We overcome our circumstances and we become stronger people because of that. And you can sit down and you can cry, you can laugh, you can joke about your circumstances. That's part of healing. So I don't want y'all to take what I'm saying out of context and run with it, because y'all know me. I will check y'all ass at any given moment if y'all come at me with some bullshit about, oh, you said this, that, and the third. So I'm just putting that disclaimer out there. So we're going to go ahead and bring on our special guest. Damn it, hold on. Okay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so happy to be on.
Man, you early as hell. You was there for me. Damn.
You said 9:30, so I said I'm going to be prompt. Punctual, I'm sorry. I'm going to be punctual.
I have to tell you, I really appreciate you hitting me up on my site and sending me
an excerpt,
because I didn't realize that I had other people hitting me up on there, and normally it comes straight to my email, and yours did, but I had seen some other messages, and it tripped me out because I had met this guy a long time ago, and he got my information about my site and stuff, and he hit me up back in August, and he thought that I was just gassing him off. And I was like, after reading your email, I went back on my site and started going through the entry forms, and I saw that. So I got to thank you for that, because it made me keep on top of everything. I hit old dude back and was like, nah, you too fine for me to ignore. How are you doing? So thank you. thank you. So go ahead and tell everybody who you are and exactly what you do and where you're from.
I'm a published author, of course. This is my first novel. Ebony Beloved is my first book, and I am originally from South Florida. I was born in Miami. I recently relocated to Atlanta a couple of months ago, and I'm working on my second novel, which is called The Bold and the Ugly Truth, which will be totally different. Right now, while I'm working on my second novel, I'm currently promoting my first book, because I feel this is the kind of book that so many people, including yourself, can relate to, and I do want to make sure that it does reach its full potential.
See, I'm not mad at you. Now, my question is, the book that you wrote, because you sent me an excerpt from it, and I promise you, I'm going to buy that book, because I was like, whoo! Now, is this a fictional character or like a real-life person that you interviewed for this book?
The main character is kind of based off me in a sense. I put pieces of myself into the book, but for the most part, it is a fiction book. The only thing that I have in common with the main character is I grew up poor, and I come from a very dysfunctional household, and I was bullied in school, and I was verbally abused. That's where it stops for me. But Ebony, the main character, I mean, she's been through far worse than I've been through.
Oh, most definitely. Matter of fact, this is what I want you to do. You remember that excerpt that you sent me?
Yes.
I want you to read it to the audience, if you don't mind.
Oh, I sure can. Definitely. I know I put the book somewhere. I had it. I'm so sorry. I did have the book. Because it's been a while since I've read an excerpt to an audience. So, yeah, it's an honor. In the meantime, can I talk about the book while I try to find
it? Yes, you sure can.
Okay, so pretty much people have asked me if I would ever turn the book into a novel. The novel into a movie. And, I said, it's a possibility. If the right people approach me, I can definitely, see it as a movie, because it's very descriptive. And it's the kind of book that a lot of people can relate to, especially women. And, I've done colleges. I spoke at a local college about the book, and I've gotten rave reviews about the book. People read the book. They were like, wow, you know, the book touches so many emotions in you. And I was kind of amazed myself because even though it's an urban fiction book, it still has a universal message behind it. And that's the reason why I do what I do, because I really want to, I know the book, it's the kind of book that a lot of people, it's the kind of book that needs to be heard. You know, it's kind of like Precious and Color Purple rolled into one, but it's just far more intense than both of them. Okay, so I'm about to read the excerpt.
Okay.
To the audience. Can't find the books, so I gotta look it up online. Okay. Just ready for it to come up. Okay. Okay. Okay, chapter one. It was pitch black. The only thing that allowed direct light into the daunting room was a hole in the window. The dim glow from the street lights in the distance gave off barely enough light to provide visibility through the shadows. The only sounds that could be heard were from the crickets. They were the only things making noise in the neighborhood, piercing the silence but not loud enough to disrupt the peace. None of the neighbor's dogs felt like having a barking competition at night. With the exception of the porch lights, the neighborhood was cloaked in darkness and was eerily still. It was at most 50 degrees outside, and the cold draft snaked its way into the opening of the broken window. Ebony shivered uncontrollably. Her teeth were clicking together wildly, and her nipples felt like huge gumball drops. As she lay, she rubbed her hands together between her thighs to gain some semblance of warmth. She cried hysterically and sniffled nonstop. She didn't have a blanket to stay warm, and she felt like her bladder could burst like a malfunctioning appendix at any moment. What prevented her from moving were two Doberman pinschers. They were both sound asleep. Ebony knew that if she tried to make a beeline for the door, she would interrupt their sleep and become their late-night snack. She was too young to die, so she decided to let her biological juices flow down her legs. In agony, come on, this is my story. One second. I missed my spot. Okay, in agony, Ebony reflected on the numerous times she tried to escape, realizing the only way she would was if he released her from his quote-unquote sewer trap. She had spent two nights in a row in that foul-smelling shed. It reeked of a combination of feces, urine, acid, and gasoline. Ebony covered her nose and mouth with her hands every time she could resist not rubbing them together to stay warm, often getting sick from the putrid odor. She'd thrown up numerous times throughout the course of her stay in that hellhole. The two massive dogs slept 2 feet away from her in front of the closed door, mouths open, snoring like human beings. That alone was enough to make Ebony want to jump out of her skin and dash right through the wall. Desmond didn't believe in feeding in that canned shit. He only fed them the best and nothing but the best. USDA certified prime raw steaks. They had the appetites of lions and the jaws of sharks. They were not the ordinary domestically trained house dogs either. They were trained killers and they obeyed no one but Desmond. Danger and Ripper had shiny black fur coats and were groomed regularly. Desmond treated those dogs like they were his children. His mother hated dogs, so Desmond kept them out of her sight. God, why do you continue to punish me this way? Sometimes I fucking hate you, Ebony wailed. She couldn't believe how one human being could dehumanize another by subjecting them to such deplorable conditions. She moved her body over to the space where the street lights cast their reflection. She felt and smelled vile. There were cobwebs in every corner of the shed. Besides Ebony and the dogs, nothing was in the shed besides a lawnmower, a dingy sofa, and dog turds. The shed was monstrously huge. It was almost the size of a pool house, except it was creepy with spider webs in every corner. The dust was thick enough to choke a cockroach. She had been forced into the shed because the night before, Desmond's controlling mother had accused Ebony of tampering with her panties. That was the farthest thing from the truth. Ebony had never stepped foot in that old bitch's bedroom. The lady he loved the most was the most petulant woman on the universe. She paraded around the house like a ghetto snob. She made Frankie Long look like a black Tammy Faye Baker. she was very contentious and confrontational. She could have ranked number one on the most scariest celebrity moms list. She was known as Charlotte Mama Queen Simmons. She was a knife-toting, no-nonsense woman who got whatever she pleased. She had been arrested 30 times for disorderly conduct that involved assault and battery. The person she hated the most was Ebony. Ever since Charlotte had met Ebony, she had been on a quest to make her life unpleasant. That was why she reported Ebony to Desmond. Charlotte couldn't stand the young girl. She thought Ebony was just another simple, snot-nosed tramp who was trying to upstage her by taking her position as the woman of the house. That was why she concocted that insane story. Charlotte knew in order for it to seem like Ebony was trying to fit into her favorite Jaguar-printed thong, she had to stretch it long and hard until it ripped. She marched down the stairs and yelled, "Des, bring your ass in here. I need to show you something." Des was sitting in the den playing Madden and barely gave an audible, "Yeah, Ma?" "Nigga, you know goddamn well how much I hate to repeat myself more than once. Now bring your pussy ass in the room," she said with a sneer. Desmond hated when she called him foul names. It made him feel less than a man. If someone else other than his mother had called him that, he would have beat the brakes off their ass. But she was his mother, and he loved her more than anyone or anything. "Damn, why you gotta keep calling me names? You know how much that shit pisses me off," Charlotte gave him a dismissive wave and spat. "Nigga, I was a 72-hour labor with your punk ass. I fed, clothed, and raised your ass all by myself. Your cheating-ass pappy fucked another bitch outside of our marriage. Since then, I've been your daddy and your mother, which gives me the right to talk to your nappy-headed ass any way I want to. So shut the fuck up and let me speak, nigga." Desmond really wasn't in the mood for any confrontation with his mother. All he wanted to know was what had caused her to fly off the hinges again so that he'd go back to his game. "All right, Ma, what happened this time?" "That funky monkey bitch of yours went into my drawer and stole one of my fucking thongs. She knows damn well that she can't squeeze her fat ass into my thongs," she hissed. Desmond grew so exasperated that steam nearly came out of his nose and ears. No matter how wrong his mother was, she was like an angel's advocate. In his eyes, she could never be wrong. After listening to his mother's panty-theft tirade, he yelled, "Ebony, bitch, bring your stupid ass down here now." When Charlotte witnessed how enraged her son was at Ebony for touching her possessions without her approval, she smiled like the Cheshire Cat. Meanwhile, thinking to herself, "Yeah, bitch, that's your ass now." Ebony was in the bathroom polishing her toenails. She knew how much Desmond hated the smell of nail polish. One time, she polished her toenails next to him in bed, and he vehemently snatched her by the collar and slapped her speechless. He yelled, "Motherfucker, have you lost your fucking mind? You're about to spill that stinking-ass shit on my custom-made $8,000 comforter. And why the fuck are you polishing your nails pink, bitch? Are you creeping out of me, cunt?" he ranted. Ebony stuttered, No, baby, you know I wouldn't do that to you," she cried while trying to shake off the dots she was seeing from the impact of his slap. "I better not catch you wearing any colored polish. You're allowed to wear clear polish. And if I catch you polishing your nails near any of my shit again, I'm going to twist your fucking neck until it unscrews. You understand me, bitch?" Ebony replied with a simple nod. "Ebony, you hear me fucking calling you?" It was enough to start her out of her trance. She dropped the nail polish, but promptly picked it up and sealed it shut. Her toenails weren't fully dry, but that didn't stop her from rushing downstairs to find out what she had done to piss Desmond off this time. Her heart was nearly beating out of her chest. She knew she had to face whatever her punishment was going to be. As soon as she met Desmond and his mom downstairs, she nervously asked, "Yes, Des?" The atmosphere was so thick, it could be stabbed with a knife. She suddenly felt the painful sting of a palm hitting her cheek. This time, the slap didn't come from Desmond. It came from his mother. Charlotte went ballistic on Ebony. She grabbed her by her ponytail and shoved the ripped panties in her mouth. Desmond didn't say anything. In fact, he thought it was comical. Ebony was terrified. She couldn't fathom how a man could watch his own mother pummel and beat up his girlfriend without lifting a finger to defuse the situation. Charlotte slapped her again with the back of her hand until Ebony stumbled backwards and landed on her back. Desmond and his mother would not give her the opportunity to prove her innocence. They both took turns savagely beating her. "Oh, my God, Mrs. Waltz, what did I do?" she cried. As soon as Ebony called Charlotte Mrs., it only angered her more. Despite the agony her husband had put her through when he was alive, she still loved him and she missed him and she knew she would never see him again. Her husband was a mail carrier and his name was Lonnie Waltz. However, he did more than deliver mail. He delivered his own personal package and slept with the women he delivered mail to. He would visit them after work and sex them good. One night, he fornicated his way into a rich woman's bed. When her husband discovered his wife and Lonnie getting it on, he murdered both of them with a chainsaw. Desmond snatched Ebony up by her hair and stood her up. As Charlotte watched Ebony try to shield herself from another attack, he took both of her arms and bent them behind her back. She tried to maneuver herself from his grip, but it was no use. "I fucking hate you, you cock-sucking whoring Jezebel," Charlotte yelled. She went crazy and punched Ebony right in the face. Ebony winced and yelled out in pain and horror. "Shut up, bitch, before I really give you something to cry about," Desmond boomed. He loosened his grip on her. When she tried to cup her bleeding nose, Desmond spun her around in his direction and punched her in the stomach, bringing her to her knees. Ebony balled herself up in the seated position. Charlotte then kicked Ebony in the small of her back with her pointy-toed Jimmy Choo pumps and barked, "Now what, you whore?" Charlotte's knuckles were painfully throbbing. She said, "Desmond, I'm about to go put my knuckles in some ice before they hurt. Thanks for that monkey-ass cunt." She sashayed into the kitchen to nurse her knuckles back to good health. "All right, Ma," Desmond replied. Ebony was in so much pain she couldn't move. Desmond looked at Ebony in disgust as she lay there. He picked her up and carried her limp body outside to his shed. At the shed, he greeted his two favorite kids, Ripper and Danger. They were breathing hard and waiting for their master to give them their order to devour Ebony. Ebony could tell by their stares, hungry, focused stares, that told her there was only one thing they intended to do to her. Their eyes were intensely fixed upon her own as drool dripped from their jaws and air rushed in and out of their snouts. To their disappointment, Desmond only rubbed their heads and caressed them as he always did, like newborn puppies. "Okay, listen up. Daddy wants you to keep an eye on his disobedient bitch. If she tries to run away, I want you to eat her ass alive. Understand?" he instructed. Both dogs barked in unison. Ebony cried and moaned. She had overheard everything he said, and she knew Desmond meant every last word. Ebony remained in the shed for two nights. She had nothing left to do but cry and think. She loathed herself for being so stupid for staying with a man like Desmond. He didn't always behave that way. She knew there had to be some way out of that prison, but until then, the only thing she had left to do was ask herself, "Why me?" And that concludes chapter one.
Man, oh my God, that shit is crazy. Now, how long did it take you to write that book?
It took me about 5 months to write it. Of course, I had to close in some holes in the book. I had to flesh out some things in the book, but I would say it did take me 5 months to write it.
Interesting. And how many hours a day did you devote to writing?
You know, there's pretty much been gaps within those 5 months. Because when I was in school, I was pretty much focused on moving back in with my parents. So I kind of put writing off for a while within those 5 months. I mean, I could have complete the story sooner, but it was just that I wanted to get. Before I finished the book, I was trying to get the book published through a publisher at the time. So I can't really say how many hours it took me to write it. I could just say how many months it took me to write it. Because I pretty much kind of held off a little bit and finished the rest of the story.
That is just interesting because I have been thinking about writing a fiction book based on my life, which is crazy, from being a housewife to being a cocaine transporter to white collar crime to going to prison to the crazy ass relationships to being adult entertainer slash radio.
Wow.
Like, it's just, I don't know, it's crazy. And then it's like, I'm so glad that there are women out there that are writing books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, because, like you said, you put a little bit of yourself in that book, but so many people can relate to so much stuff that's going on in that book to where this may be their outlet to give them hope that they can escape. Because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that because you've been a victim, you don't have to stay a victim of your circumstances. You can overcome and go to the next level of your life. You just got to be willing to accept the change, accept the healing, and realize, you know, a lot of it isn't your fault. Because a lot of times when you're in an abusive relationship, the man will have you thinking that it's you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's really him. Because I know my ex-husband used to be like, oh, well, when you leave me, you got four kids. Ain't nobody going to want you with four kids. And then, you know, you sit there and you try to make it work. And then you get to the point where, okay, I'm on my own. Who the fuck going to want you with four kids and this, that, and the third? And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, when you was reading the first chapter and old boy's mom, I'm like, yo, that bitch crazy. Like, for real. Like, poor Ebony. She doomed from chapter one. It's like, it's worse than Cinderella. His crazy ass mama, and then you dealing with his crazy ass.
So,
like, when you were writing the book, did you ever get into the character?
Actually, no. I don't know. When I was writing it, I was just like, I guess I somewhat was, because I had to be able to create the character. So I kind of, I guess you could say I kind of got into the characters I write them, because when I create characters, I also want the readers to kind of like engage with the characters too. So it was a piece of cake, really, just, you know, forming the characters.
Now see,
especially about my parents, so it was a walk in the park.
As you're writing, did it help you resolve any unresolved issues in your life? Did it help you put some closure to some stuff that you had going on?
I think I'm still trying to find closure. I could say it has been kind of therapeutic in a sense, because it's like me seeing my life on paper, in a sense. I am still trying to find a little bit of closure. Like I said, I haven't been through as much as what Ebony's gone through, but I can say that there are some things that I will love to resolve with my parents, at least. So it's like, it's almost like seeing my, even though it's not in the movie, but it's almost like a movie. It's like moving pictures on paper. And I can see my life on this paper, and I'm like, wow, in a sense. You know, it's like the parents, when you read, you get to chapter two, you're going to see the exchange between their parents. It's very ugly. You know, the father who's not into the holidays, he's not, he's what you call a revolutionary in a sense. And then her mother, who's more of a passive, very dependent housewife who just, with a limited education, and all she knows how to do is con the government, not con the government, but, you know, live off government aid. She's not trying to better herself. So, that alone was just like the most, I would say for me personally, was the most intense thing, because I've experienced it. I was there and it happened. So for me to put it on paper, it's just like, wow. I mean, because I've read a lot of urban fiction books that were very raw and real, but not as raw as real as this, like, no holding back, no hold bars. I'm like, the stuff that they say to one another is like, wow, do people actually speak to one another that way? And they actually do. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I said, this must be her. I want to see how many people out there that can relate to the main characters. How many people out there have had parents who don't believe in the same deity and they combat with one another, you know, about what's right and what's wrong. So, I mean, I'm still trying to find that closure, as I mentioned, and there will be a part two to Ebony, I'll say that. But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of therapeutic for me.
Now, has your family read the book?
My father's not a fiction reader, and sadly, my mother doesn't know what a novel is. I'm not putting it down or anything, but she doesn't know what a novel is. The only thing she will pick up is a Bible. And, yeah, so the book does talk about her being a Bible thumper. My father doesn't really read fiction, but he does support the fact that I am a writer, that I've actually published a book.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister who's like 9 years younger than me. I know she hasn't read the book. She knows that the book exists, but she hasn't really read it because she's not really much of a reader. Maybe one day she'll pick it up and read it. I mean, I've read her like excerpts from the book before it was published, but other than that, she hasn't read the book either.
Do you have other family members that have read your book?
I mean, I've heard, like, through my maternal grandmother, she was saying that, like, my cousins, because I'm not really close to anybody on my mother or my father's side of the family, to be honest with you. I talked to my grandmother every once in a while, and, I mean, from what she told me, my uncle, my young uncle, he was going to order a copy. I'm not sure they'll order a copy or not, because I don't keep in touch with them. So.
Okay. Wow, this is, like, really, really deep. But I'm glad you're sharing this because, like, it's like I've always wanted to have authors on my show so I can ask them different questions. Now, I'm not here to make you feel uncomfortable or anything.
No,
like,
no, it's cool.
I'll just be wanting to know because it's just like sometimes it's like when you write, when you're in a situation where you can't talk to people, writing is your only outlet, and then sometimes when people read what you write, they tend to take it the wrong way, or there's always some type of backlash. Because people feel like, okay, you know, why did you have to write this? Or, you know, even though it's fiction, I recognize some of this. Why are you putting your business out there? Has anybody asked you that? For the people that know you, you know, like your close friends or, you know, maybe somebody you was involved with or anything?
No, because my parents knew that I was going to put them in the book, but of course I concealed I didn't reveal their real names. So they knew, they didn't have a problem with me putting putting their characters in my book. And my closest friends who know me very well, it's like, you know, we're all long distance, we live in different states, but it's like they've been through some of the challenges I've been through, you know, the financial struggle and just living in a very dysfunctional household. And just by them, you know, the stuff that they overhear in the background, my parents arguing with each other or my mom is getting on my back about something petty, they didn't really find anything wrong with me putting them in the book because, you know, it's like my friends were like actually there with me because they've gone through this, like they were going through the challenges with me. So as far as like putting their names in the book, well, not the names, but the characters in the book, I never got any backlash for it. And plus, not too many people, these people who I no longer consider family members, they're not aware that I actually put some of my family members in the book. So.
Now, from
if
the
they people, did, I wouldn't care anyway.
Oh, I feel you on that. Now, from the people that have read the book, who is the character they hate the most? They just despise like a motherfucker.
Oh, Desmond and Charlotte. I would say Milton. Milton, Desmond, and Charlotte. Almost. I'd say on the same scale.
That's interesting. And I can actually see that. I can actually see that because Desmond is something else. And his mother, damn, that bitch worse than Mama Jones. Times 10
yes.
And Mama D, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, do you have plans to, like, write another book? Because I have to read it so I can see how the end turns out. But do you have plans to give Ebony a new outlook on life with a new partner, you know, being somewhat healed, having a healthy and loving relationship in the future?
Oh, yes. Actually, I'm going to be writing a sequel to Ebony the Beloved next year. I'm working on my second novel called The Bold and the Ugly Truth, and it's totally different from Ebony. I'm not sure if Ebony is going to be a series or not, but I do know there will be a sequel to Ebony the Beloved. And, of course, she will have a newer outlook on life in the second book. And, of course, there will be some drama in the second book, because I got to bring the drama to the second book.
Oh, yeah, you got to. You got, this day and age, you got to have a little bit of drama. Matter of fact, we're going to bring in Mr. G.A. He's actually in Atlanta right now. And I wonder, you know, I know he got something to say because he came in on the tail end. He didn't get the chance to hear chapter one, but I know he's going to be full of questions because that's what men do. They ask questions. Some are good questions, some are bad questions, and some are questions that shouldn't even come out their mouth at all. But that's a mission for you. Why'd she call me a dirty rod? Hey, Mr. G.A.
What's up, baby girl? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I see you being a little smart ass. I hear you. Being a smart ass. How's it going?
I got rid of my sling on Wednesday, so I'm entitled to be a smart ass.
Oh, shit. Watch out. She fucking, y'all. She fucking.
No. No. Actually, I'm not. I can't even cut on the light switch. Like, even though I don't have the sling on no more, I'm still fucked up in the game. But you've been listening to my author, Boss Lady Writer. I just got on the phone line.
I was trying to catch just the tail end. She's off, you said?
Yeah, she's in Atlanta. You're in Atlanta right now, right, Boss Lady?
Yes, I'm in Atlanta.
Okay, all right, cool.
Mr. GA, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna email you an excerpt that she sent me so you could get the heads up on this book. But, oh, my gosh, I'm actually going to buy this book. I'm not going to try to bootleg it or, you know, do her like
right.
I would Meek Mills or anything like this. I'm actually going to go out and buy her book and support her because this book is something serious. And what she's doing, I feel like, is a good cause for women that are victims of domestic violence. And, you know, for some men that choose to read this book, maybe it'll keep them from putting their hands on a woman or it'll make them realize that, you know, the women they done beat, they shouldn't do that, especially if they have a daughter.
Oh, good. Now, is this book coming from, I guess, life experiences or?
Well, some of it is based on my life experiences. For the most part, it's pretty much made up.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's a good thing.
Yes, I mean, it actually is. Me personally, you know, Mr. G.A., I always said I wanted to write, you know, because I seem to be wooing people with my little dirty sexual blogs. And
yeah, she is. You're very dirty.
I mean, hey, sex sales. I mean, look, I share my life with people. I help them live life through my eyes that normally wouldn't be inclined to do some of the things that I have done. So
right.
It's like a public service. That's what I'm a public service. That's what I do in my book. So she's a book. She writes fictional books, you know, urban fictional books. So she's being a spokesperson for people that want to read it, and she's bringing a voice for people that normally wouldn't be able to speak on their own.
Right.
And I'm sure she got some sex scenes in her book, because I'm sure old dude was, like, telling his wife to give him some coochie and stuff like that, but in a walk-off way.
I tell you what, what's the author? Was it Zane? Is it Zane, right? Correct, Zane?
Uh-huh.
Man, I mean, when she writes for me, I'm not really into books, but, I mean, I read, like, three of her books already, and when she writes, she goes into it. She gets it deep. I mean, you can't put the book down.
Well,
really?
I would have to say with Zane, I haven't read any of her normal books. I've read some of her supernatural books, and witches and goblins and people on the other side, and they was fucking, and that shit made me hot. So if goblins and ghosts and evil spirits fucking can make me hide at work, then, you know, something wrong. But, I mean, she's a good writer, but I just never read any of her normal books. I just thought that was way out there. But the way that I read, once I start reading a book, I keep reading. I don't put it down. I can't. I have to. If I start it at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to go to sleep until I finish reading that book. Because I like to pick up books that are just that good. If I put your book down and I don't finish reading it within the first 24 hours, then your book was not good to me. But when I read what she sent me in my email, I was immediately drawn to the book because it related to some things that I had been through. So I can relate to it from outside looking in point of view and then inside looking out. And then I was just like, you know what? I have to get her on my show because, like, people need to hear her story, hear about her book, and then go out and support the book because it's a really good book. It's a good cause. You know what I'm saying? So I want to
know. Who carried the book? Who's carrying the book? Who's carrying it? What store is carrying it?
You can get the book on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. Books a Million, and you can get it on eBay. So it's on several online book retailers. You can get the paperback version from either one of those sites. You can get it from Amazon, which is only $14, the paperback version. You can get it off Amazon. I'm sorry, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, and eBay around that amount. You can also download the ebook version, which is on Kindle, for only $1. For the e-readers out there.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to get that for my daughter's phone then because she be asking me to get her some e-books. And I be like, okay, I'm not going to get you no book if your ass ain't going to read it. And
okay, that's a good look then.
Yeah, because Alicia can relate to that book.
Yeah, she can.
Yeah,
she really can then.
Yeah, because she used to beat the hell out of her baby daddy, only after she used to beat her ass. She would roast her roll.
Oh, shit. It's stupid.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, that would be a good book for her to read. Because my daughter is 22, and she likes to read. I guess she gets it from her mom. So what is your other book about?
The other book I'm working on The Bold and the Ugly Truth, this one, which I know is going to be very controversial, it's about a televangelist who, he's a man of wealth, power, and honor. And, you know, of course, you know, he's kind of like T.D. Jakes, all those televangelists you're familiar with. And he just finds himself growing disillusioned with religion. And he gets sick of, you know, having to pastor a congregation, you know, while he's living high off the hog and they're just barely making ends meet. And he just, like, starts to question his Christianity. So he withdraws from Christianity eventually and he begins bashing religion. And he becomes, like, this national... I mean, better yet, this international badass figure. He becomes the most hated man in the world because he's like talking trash to about the televangelists that we all hear about. And he talks, I mean, he's challenging not just religion, but politics and government and sexuality, everything that we hear about, all the social issues that's surrounding us today. He's going to address all of that. He's going to say what's on his mind. And he of course, he catch a lot of stigma for that because, you know, of course, televangelists, they make their money off the congregation. And he's not really feeling that anymore. He starts doing his research, and he's willing to give up all the money in the world, everything that he's worked, that he amassed over the years, for his true self.
I was about to say, so more foul stuff. I'm like, she sure she ain't talking about Creflo Dollar.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. Because when you get into that televangelist, I mean, that opens up the doors for, people start forming their own ideas. Because you, like you said, TD Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, I don't know. You could be talking about Jim Baker, Kenneth Copeland, Eddie Long, pretty much.
I would put it like this. He's a name dropper. I'm going to say that. He's a name dropper, and he's just going, he doesn't care what he says. He's just going to say what's on his mind. He's just really sick of, it's like he's like a prisoner in his own mind. And he's like, I want to get out of this prison, and I'm going to say what's on my mind, and I'm willing to even die for my freedom. Basically, freedom from my mind. I want to get out of this this mentality that I've been indoctrinated with, that's been instilled in me as a child and as a young guy in seminary school. I
Sorry,
just
Tupac.
Want to be free. Right.
Sorry, Tupac.
You said it. You said Tupac.
That's Tupac.
That's the correct word. So, yeah, he is going to do some name dropping. So that's what makes it very interesting, because he's a fictionalized character going in on real-life televangelists.
You know, HD, this is what, boss lady, this is what I can do for you. When you drop that book, just let me know when it drops, and I'll make some phone calls and see if I can get you some protection.
Oh, most definitely.
Because, boy, that book gonna cause an uproar, and that book is gonna bring you so much drama. Because people gonna feel a certain kind of way. Because what's that saying? A hit dog will holler. But what you're doing is you're writing fiction. But you, like you said, it'd be some name dropping. But my thing is, what you do in the dark comes to light. And what people don't understand is, when you are a writer and you're writing, God gives you a gift to write whatever it is He wants you to write. So He allows us to do what He wants us to do, but when it's time for us to do His work, then it's nothing you can say. So it's like, for everybody that's thinking that they're getting away with the cons and the secret lies, the double lies and everything like that, as my dad would say, you're bringing stuff home to roost. That's what you're doing. And that's going to come with a price that people ain't going to like that. You're going to be hit with everything.
Yes, hate mail, threat mail, but I know the creator, he has my back, and I'm not doing it just to sell books. I'm doing it to just put the truth out there. And, I mean, this idea came to me almost about 2 years ago. That's when I began writing the second book. And the good news is I will be publishing this book early next year. And I'm very excited about that. The Bold and Ugly Truth will be released sometime between January and March. But it will be out nonetheless. I'm very excited about this book. It's just a total, I mean, it's a very unique read. It's very, that's why I call The Bold and the Ugly Truth, because it's just not, it doesn't hold back. And it's, I'm sure Christian authors will be offended by what I have to, what I'm saying, but, you know, it's just, no matter whether you write something that's positive or something that's, you know, that's negative, you know, you just can't please everybody. And I'm
you know what's
trying
so
to
unique?
Anybody.
What's so unique about this show today with the author on the line right now, Chuck? I was talking to a friend of mine today, right? And she has a, she has two children. Well, they're grown, they're adults now, and they were raised in a good home. I mean, good upbringing. You feel me? The daughter's at home, and the son like transvestites. And I was like, what the hell is going on? You gotta write a book. You know what I'm saying? Because what she was telling me was so deep. I was like, yo, I know your kids. They're good kids. Are you sure? The daughter's at home. I mean, Backpage hoe. You know what I'm saying? .com hoe. Escort service. And the son is messing with trannies now. I'm like, how did that happen? Because it wasn't raised that way. And I'm like, that's a book you should write for real.
They live in Atlanta?
Say it again?
They live in Atlanta? They live in Atlanta?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay,
that's
there
crazy.
You go, right there.
That's crazy, though.
I mean, come on now, in Atlanta, you all already know, Atlanta got its own sexual underground. Atlanta got a whole lot of stuff working for it.
But when I say these kids, they were raised in a good home, good environment. I mean, nothing, never knew nothing at all on the outside. You feel me? They were straight kids, you know what I'm saying? I mean, education, everything. And I was like, how y'all just go left from being right? In like a matter of a year, they just all just like turned crazy. That's a book for real.
I mean, at this day and age, it don't matter how you brought up, you know what I'm saying? The end result is going to be the end result because we were all came into this world with a book of life. Everything that we were supposed to do in life is in that book.
It's written right, correct.
Our life is a movie. We're just playing out the role that God made with us. He knows how it's going to end, but we don't. So it's like for her to write a book or two or three, four, be on the bestsellers list, that's what God's intention for her was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
For old dude to mess with transvestite, that was just something that he was bound to do. Now, whether he stayed doing it, I don't know, because being in Atlanta, ooh-wee, boy, that's left.
Wow. That's
you know
crazy.
What I'm saying? So, like me, if I don't bring you to Atlanta with me, I'm not fucking with you. Because you suspect like hell. I'm sorry.
I'm not suspect. I'm all man, nigga. Get that shit off your head.
Okay, but you're not from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
But I live here, though.
Working with. I know what you're working with. But I'm just saying, you at this day and age, you know, I ain't even going to keep picking on Atlanta. It's with anything. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta, I don't know, pray before, I mean, maybe that don't sound right, but say pray before you take the dick. I mean, I don't know. You just gotta pray for safety. Because ain't nothing safe. I'm just saying. You know, you do what you're supposed to. Like, my grandfather, he had 9 kids. 2 of them died early. And, you know, preacher's kids are the worst. You know, half the family was saved. Other half, you know, they was doing their thing, but everybody's coming around. But when you're growing up, you're always going to have somebody that goes against the grain. That's just life. I got 4 kids. The 2 middle ones are the black sheep. They bad as shit. Mark and Alicia. Mike and Chase are good. Very respectable. You know, they respect me and everything. Them other 2, they get mad. Well, I be ready to put, I've already put hands on one of them. But
Which one?
Me and Alicia don't fall.
Alicia?
Yeah.
For real?
Yes. I have to be knocking me. I'll be ready. Ooh, you got to knock her ass literally out.
Yes. Yeah, damn right. She's a big one.
But it's just like, you know, it's just sad because, like, at this day and age, you just never know. You know what I'm saying? And with her being in Atlanta now, she going to see some more shit that's going to make her write some more books about some other stuff. Her eyes gonna be wide open. 2013. Watch what I tell you. She gonna call me.
I take you downtown, Atlanta. You can write all you want. You can probably write a whole fucking slew of books. You go downtown, Atlanta. We're talking underground mall to Buckhead to Lang Station. You have a fucking whole history right down there. That's crazy.
Stewart Avenue.
Go on. It's funny.
I mean, it's just like in Atlanta. She gonna have a whole series of books that she gonna write because she gonna have so much. I mean, I lived in Fort Lauderdale. It's like every city, big city, has its own shit with it. You know what I mean? So it's like the shit she saw in Miami and the shit she saw that she's gonna see in Atlanta. I'm telling you, she gonna have like some crazy books. And then when she go out to California, visit book sign or whatever, she gonna see some crazy stuff out there. When she go to New York, she gonna see some crazy stuff out there. Especially when she go to Brooklyn, she see how many dudes be paying for pussy. She gonna write a book about that.
Definitely.
It's a lie.
Mr. GA,
that dude. Yo, listen. That dude was not from Brooklyn. He was from, like, Manhattan, for real. He wasn't from Brooklyn. He lying. He was lying. He ain't from Brooklyn. He was lying.
Mr. G.A., he was from Brooklyn, and he had Keishi sucking his dick before. So we're going to leave that one alone. I mean, I hate to distort your view of Brooklyn because that's where you're from. But, you know, there are a few bad apples from every place you go. You just have to accept that. You were one of the good guys. You made it through okay.
For real.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So, I got some more questions for Miss Boss Lady Ryder because I'm curious. Now, what's something you've wanted to touch on as an author, but you're like, you're still like undecided? Like, is there any topic that's offline, that's out of reach for you, or out of line, or out of order?
I would say science fiction, because I was never really big on science. I would love to touch on science fiction. I love fiction, so, I have considered doing nonfiction. I'm not sure what I would touch on if I were to write a nonfiction book, because it's just my imagination allows me to be more versed and more, knowledgeable. Because there's really no, when you use fiction, you just make up stuff. And, you know, of course, you can use real life, some real life topics in fiction. So if anything, I would like to try my hands at nonfiction. I've had people ask me if I would write a children's book. That's something that I would consider. I just have so many, you know, books for adults that I'm trying to pedal out right now, but you never know. So it will definitely be a nonfiction book and science fiction that I would love to touch on.
I was on this radio show the other night while I was listening to it, and all I can say is that radio show was off the chain, because the things that I heard, it made me be like, yo, if I wrote a book and fictionalized it, it would be off the chain. It was actual people sleeping with family members, you know, and it was really tripping me out because people was calling in sharing their stories about people that they knew, with cousins sleeping with cousins.
Oh, shit, that's taboo.
Babies, half-brother and sister, like straight fucking. A girl with food and his granddaddy, and she pregnant and don't know who the baby daddy is. It was just like some crazy stuff, because when I lived in California, and I used to call white people inbreeders. I used to be like, oh, y'all some inbreeders, and just be like laughing. Never, you know, you just make jokes because of movies you see, like Hillbillies or whatever. But when I lived in California, my landlord, her mother and father were actually brother and sister. Her grandparents had four kids, two girls, two boys, and they all ended up fucking each other and marrying each other. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And the only defect that she had was she was allergic to her own hair when it was wet. I mean, she was a big bitch. I mean, she was real big. So it's like she was just fat. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I just think she was greedy. But I wouldn't say it was a defect where, you know, it may have been her pituitary glands. But that was like the first time I heard of something like that. And this was back in the 90s when I lived in California. And then it was like when you heard stuff like that, it was more common in white families. You know, the brother and the sister, because the brother would always be older and talking his sister into stuff like that. But on this radio show the other night, MBK, all the people were African American, and
wow,
it was tripping me out, because at the end of the day, as sick as that shit is, if you write a book, so many people are going to read it, and a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it, because it's coming out more. And I was thinking about that the other day, like, wow, like, I would even hate to do a poll to see, you know, people that didn't have to give up their identity what they would say. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I grew up with people saying, you know, you can marry your third cousin. To me, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, all the way up to 20th generation, cousins are still cousins. It doesn't matter. And, you know, brothers and sisters completely off limit because they'd be like, you're going to have retarded-ass kids. You know what I'm saying? And it was amazing that family members, like the mother or the father, knew, and they was covering up and allowing it to happen, even to the point where the two cousins that were sleeping together had a child, and the lady, she was never able to walk, talk, or anything. She's in a nursing home handicapped because these two cousins decided to fuck and have a child. Them genes are too close because their mother and sister, their parents is brother and sister.
That is insane.
Yeah, it is. Like, have you ever noticed the crazier the subject is and people write books, the more they make it to the top bestseller list? It's like the more demented a person's mind is, the more people want to read that and can't put the book down and recommends it to their friends. You know, why can't y'all recommend something good and wholesome? Why always got to be something dark? Like, it's like so crazy. You know, if I had a choice to read a book about family members fucking each other or Ebony getting her ass beat, I would choose Ebony getting her ass beat because I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to tell my friends about it. Like, yo, y'all need to read this book. That's why when I scheduled the show tonight, the information that you sent me in the email about your book is on the front page of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is I'll go back in and put the websites and everything like that where people can follow you on Twitter and where they can purchase the book. And then I'm going to write about this show on my website and put the links in there so people can go and be able to actually copy your books and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm a networker. When I come across somebody that's doing their thing, I always support them. I go hard. Like, that's just me. I just have to. Because from one sister to another, I admire you for doing your thing, especially when you put out that second book, because that's going to be a real test for you.
I believe so, too. Even though the first book is intense, but this book is going to be more intense because, I mean, it's like it talks about everything that you hear about, and it's the kind of book that's going to really step on a lot of toes. The first book is the kind of book that people can relate to, but the second book is more like the kind that is all about, you know, just saying what's on your mind, saying what people are thinking, and just really pissing off a lot of people. But it's not just about pissing them off, it's just getting to think for themselves. So that's what's going to make it very, very controversial.
I am sure. Now you got me wanting you to hurry up and write that damn book because I want to read it. Me and my crazy ass, and I cuss a lot. I know I need to work on that. I will be on here talking about your book, calling out names that's in the book, and be like, I told y'all, suspect like a mug. Ooh, what you doing tonight? Come to start. Even though this is fiction, tell them to come holler at a player when they see you on the street. I mean, I'll just be straight up like that, laughing like hell, like, wow. Because what people don't understand is when you have a gift, you get other gifts to make that one gift stand out even more. And when you're writing that book, you're going to write some stuff that you didn't even think about that ain't even going to be you, but you're going to write it. Watch and see how that spirit comes down on you when you write in that book. Because you was chosen to write that book to open up a lot of people's eyes that's putting all this faith and blind trust in these people that really don't got their best interest in heart. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't go to church. I go to church for funerals. But me personally, my grandfather and another preacher, both of them have passed, were the only two preachers that I knew that they wasn't playing with people. They was on the right path. My grandparents were married for 70 years. This preacher and his wife was married. When she passed, he didn't remarry. He stayed faithful to the church and everything like that. And it's a lot nowadays, you don't know what preachers are working with. When you go to churches and stuff like that, you just be like, oh, man. And when I used to live in Atlanta, my first job was working at the Johnson C. Smith Seminary at the AUC Center. When I took that job, I did not know what a seminary was. When I found out what a seminary was, I was like, ooh, I ain't supposed to be here. Because I knew I was a sinner. Like, what? Please. But being in that position, being right up under the dean, it allowed me to see, like, so much stuff, different denominations, what different religions did and stuff like that. And it opened my eyes, and that's where I first was introduced to Creflo Dollar. And it was a crazy experience when I was working and these two girls wanted to know who did they need to call to report a pastor and his behavior to. And wow. I'll get that name. And I'm just like, wow. And then all these years you just hear so many different things. You see different things. Then what came into play, remember years ago when they started talking about the tax returns, nobody wanted to give up their tax returns to show how much they're making, how much they're spending. And then that's when Joyce Myers came into play with that $32,000 toilet or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
This book that you're writing, that's what people have been waiting for. Everything has its time. Everything has its season. And this right here, the first of the year is about to be your season, because they keep saying 2013, a lot of quirky things are going to be happening with the world and atmosphere and everything like that. Me personally, I feel like the man upstairs is getting everybody together to get ready for the battle that we're going to have at the end of the world. You know what I mean? And by any means necessary, he's going to be utilizing his servants to get his word out by what they do best.
True.
So however you got to catch people's attention, then that's what you do, and then it's going to come out. Watching you, like, you started writing already, right?
Oh, yeah. I started writing this book like 2 years ago. I'm just now, actually, because at the release, I haven't came up with a release date, because right now we're working on the cover for the book in next month. And at least I would say I want to be almost finished with the book before the end of this year, in fact. And I'm just going to pick a month. Within those 3 months, I'm going to pick a month when I'm going to release the book. And I will be self-publishing this book. This is the kind of book that I feel that I should have the most control over, because, you know, a book like this, if it was to be picked up by a major publisher, I wouldn't be able to say what I want to say in this book. So I say this book must be self-published. I would never let anybody, even if they offered me a handsome amount of money, but once the publisher get their hands on it, then they're going to want to make some changes to it, take out some things, add some things to it. I'm like, no, I don't want I went through a lot with the publisher for my first book, and I've decided I would rather self-publish all my books. And as being a self-published author, it enables me to free my mind and not have to be told what I can or cannot, you know, put in my own book. These are my words, these are my thoughts, and this is what I want people to read, and I want people to – I want it to resonate from the paper. So this is the kind of book that must be self-published. No major publisher can touch this book.
I agree. So now that I know that you wrote the book, you understand exactly what I'm saying, because when you was writing, I know certain things came to you that, like, your eyes was open when you was writing this book, because you know that you wasn't writing it by yourself, right or wrong.
I could say I've gotten the creative. Definitely, I get ideas from people around me, but I think maybe the spirit might lead me to put some things on the paper.
Mhm.
So, of course, for the second book, I believe the Most High probably is. It's probably His will for me to make this book because I was that and also. This guy, he's a Christian. He's a Christian pastor. I don't know if you ever heard of Pastor David Manning. He's a very controversial pastor from Harlem, New York. And he's an Obama basher. And, of course, he's gotten a lot of flack, hate mail, threat mail, you name it. Just look up Pastor David Manning, very controversial. And
he's a mess, yo. He's a mess.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he goes in hard on Obama. He does.
He does. And I'm like, wow. I mean, he's so animated and just so out there with it. That, too, is what inspired me to write this book. You know, I wouldn't write it, you know. The difference is it'll be about a televangelist who goes against the church. And, of course, David Mann never go against the church. Now, he may speak about other televangelists, but he'll never go against his own Christianity. So that alone is what kind of it prompted me to, because when that idea came inside of my head, I was like, wow, I'm gonna write a book about this, and I was so excited about it. I was telling my mother about it, my sister about it at the time, and my father, and he was like, I'll buy that book. I read that book. My dad only read fiction. He's like, I read that book, and I was just like, wow, you don't even read books like this. And with me having the kind of mind that I have, I say this book is gonna be a top seller.
I'm looking him up now, and Mr. GA, you know my crazy ass is thinking maybe I should ask him to come ride the chocolate wave, and maybe he can answer my question: is playing with your toy fornication or not?
Yeah, give him a call and ask him. Yeah, dude. I mean, when I say this guy here. This guy goes in, he goes in hard. He don't give a fuck about nothing. He keeps it. I mean, I guess in his eyesight, he's been 100, you know what I'm saying? No matter who it hurts or, you know what I'm saying, who he picks upon, but that's how he goes in on people.
Is he worse than Jeremiah Wright?
He's raw.
I'm sorry?
He worse than Jeremiah Wright.
I think he's worse than Jeremiah Wright, yeah.
Oh, damn.
This dude is raw. He's raw for real. He's raw for real, y'all. You think he's white sometimes, the way he talk. You swear he's a white man with black skin, the way he talks sometimes.
What?
You swear that because, I mean the way he comes off about against Obama, yeah. you swear he's a Republican, for real. That's how he talks. Like, I mean, just down to, like, he ain't shit. I mean, he just come off real hardcore.
Mm-hmm. So he endorsed Romney?
He don't care. This dude don't care, man.
He does not care.
Nah, he don't care, man, at all.
Like,
you know what? I just met I was going to the airport. I come to Salt Lake City a month ago, and I met Dick Gregory. I was like, wow, man, dude was right there just chilling with his son at the airport, waiting for a flight.
Always meet some of the strangest, the nicest people in the strangest places, and then when
yeah,
you open your big ass mouth, they just turn around and go the opposite way.
Yeah, right. Shut your ass up. Yeah, he
that
was cool though.
Crazy, cause like, wow, like I've never known preachers that just go that hard. Like you're not supposed to be hate filled if you're a man of God. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
The hypocrite.
What's wrong with him?
He goes in.
I guess he
feel like, you know what I'm saying, he got to express his views and what he feels right in his heart. Now we may feel different about Obama, but he may feel that way. He may have a strong sense. That's how he feels. But he expresses his feelings. Can't be mad for that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's his right. It's a free country. You know what I'm saying? Now what he says, we don't like it.
Always thought that when you are a man of the cloth, it's like certain standards that you have to uphold as far as
your public opinion and how strong you feel against something, because the way that I'm looking at this internet search results and stuff like that, it's like hate-filled Obama sermons. When you are a man of God, there ain't supposed to be no hate in you.
So that tells you then. He's not a man of God, then. It tells you. You know what I'm saying? He's not a man of God. He's just my dad just preaching his word, I'm saying, on some other shit. That's all.
I wonder what his congregation working with and what they look like. You got
they probably devils. They probably devils too.
Oh, is she gonna? You gonna have him in this book?
You know what? He might. You never know. He might make the cut. Yeah, because I mean, he might make the cut.
Yeah, he might make it for real.
Hey,
white folks letting him talk.
I might have to bribe her. Be like, okay, look. As soon as it's ready, like as soon as the day that the press drop it, you drop it. You need to call me so I can PayPal you this money. I need this. What?
Okay. What I can do is before the book is released, I can send you an excerpt. If the both of you would like to just read an excerpt, I can definitely send you an excerpt from the second book.
Oh, most definitely, because this is going to be crazy. You know, I'm going to have to bring you back. And then I'm going to have to get some hackers to guard my system, because I know people might be calling in. But what they don't understand is I don't do evilness on my show. I don't let people call in and say nothing bad to my guests. I only say stuff bad to my guests if they do something to piss me off. Because, you know, it'd be some dumb people that be calling in, or I'd be interviewing some people that just are less desirable if they come on the show. Like Gutta, when he bored the hell out of me. And that's the first artist I ever wanted to kick off my show. I tried to hang up on. But
Gutta. Stupid, yo, you so funny.
I'm just saying. Like, this has been, like, truly, truly something special. Oh, here go Big Tone. BK Paymaster. Hey, Big Tone.
What up, Chop? What's going on?
Man, I got this Arthur, H.P. Spidey, a.k.a. Boss Lady Writer. Man, he's been on my mind for the last hour and change about the book and the second book that he's about to write.
Wow. That's cool.
Like, you gotta read her books, especially the first one, Ebony the Beloved, about domestic violence, fiction book. Then she got one coming about the church. Boy, if I could play a song for that book, it would be Amen, and that song offends me.
Yeah, sometimes you need some of that good reading in your life to let your mind start exploring, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my mind is definitely exploring the possibilities. I'm just like, yo, I have to keep in touch with her, because when she drops this book, I want her to tell me how many people have told her, tweeted her, and said some old crazy stuff to her. Because she could not write this book.
Wow. Well, she got
people that are blind ain't gonna like this book. That's all I'm gonna say. People that got good they know the test of the body spirit is gonna respect the book, but the little heathens and stuff like that, they're gonna be mad.
Wow, that's tough though.
They're gonna be real mad.
I'm out to maybe check one of those books out.
Boy, Kathy Dollar might call her up and be like, who the hell do you think you are?
I'm ready for him. I talk to my friends about this all the time. One of my good friends knows that I'm about it because she knows what's up. And I told her I'm ready for him.
You got to be. And, like, when you write certain things, you got to be ready for the fallout. And you already know it. You wrote this book a while ago. You're just fine-tuning it and finding your release date. So you already know. It'd be a lot of people that'd be like, oh, I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to sit here and name drop, or I'm going to touch on this subject, and
Hey, yo, Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yo, who's TV up real loud? Somebody had a real loud TV in the background.
Yeah, turn your TV down.
Huh?
Your TV up too loud.
Well, I just turned it down.
Oh, okay.
That shit was mad loud.
Yeah,
yeah, it was actually louder. I just turned it down. I'm in the middle of watching this game. It's halftime. I just wanted to call in real quick and give some love to my boo Chuck real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You're welcome. You want to touch base with see what's going on everybody tonight. You know how this is watching games. You know, it's maximum volume up in here. You know?
Man, I can't compete with the Knicks. I ain't even going to try to compete with them now that them bitches finally got a winning season. For now.
Yeah, it's better than anybody down there on your side of town.
Well, actually, I don't fuck with it, North Carolina teams. It don't matter. My team is Boston.
Do they really exist? Because the Bobcats is lucking out right now. That's the best that you got down there.
No.
Huh?
I've never been, like, really a fan, except for with the Hornets. I was a fan of Larry Johnson, and when Larry Johnson came to the New York Knicks, I rolled with the Knicks for the longest time.
Larry Johnson's cool. He's part of the front office now.
Really?
Yep.
For real? Oh, my God.
He be at the games chilling. He's mad old now, but he be at the games chilling, though.
Oh, my God, don't tell me that, because I will go up to New York and be so fly and so fresh, and I will still try to throw it on his old ass.
Yeah, he be at the games. If you watch one of the games when they play at the Garden again, you'll see he be chilling in the stands.
I knew this was going to be an awesome show. Now I just found out where I could go see my Larry Johnson at. Let's see if he got a twist. See?
Wow.
See, I'm a fan of Larry
Johnson. Yeah, I can see you on Sundays. You be going in on Sundays on Twitter. You be trashing the Eagles.
I mean, hey, I got to. Oh, he ain't old. He the same age as me. He's 43.
Who, Larry Johnson? Well, he look old. Whatever age he is, he look about 10 years older. That dude look mad old now. He
see,
like somebody's grandfather.
When you mess with the wrong woman.
Is that what it is? Is that stress?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
well, stress. Whatever he been messing with, they done had him stress over the years. So.
Yeah, he wasn't messing with Chalk Mommy. Oh, Lord.
He need to mess with Chalk Mommy a little bit.
You know why he looking old? Because he converted to Islam. Damn.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh,
is that
God.
What happened?
Hey, I can't fuck with him. I'm going to let that one go. Just like, look at Loon. Loon was fine as I don't know what. He converted to Islam, and now he look like a hot-ass mess. Ooh.
Damn.
Damn.
Andrew Bynum?
Nah, Loon. The rapper that used to be with Puffy. You remember? Miss Boss Lady Ryder, you got anything about Islamic people in there?
I'm sorry?
You got anything about Islamic people in the book?
Actually, I'm going to be mentioning that in the second book. Most definitely. I will be talking about some, about religion and everything in the second book. So it's going to be quite deep. Yeah, definitely. I would say like this. He's almost like a Malcolm X and a Tupac in a sense.
Oh, Tony, I had to put you on hold. Your TV loud as hell. Oh, my goodness. A religious Tupac. Could you imagine?
More like a spiritual Tupac.
Could you imagine what Suge Knight is going to come out at you?
Woo.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to talk about the Illuminati, everything that you can think of. Almost everything you can think of, he's going to talk about that.
Oh, see, I did a show on the Illuminati last year, and it's time for me to
to do another one. I got to do part two because that's something that I really didn't understand. So I brought people on that was very knowledgeable about that. So that will be, oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to bring you on for that one because shows like that be so controversial. I had Rick Ross Big Ass tune in from Dubai. I guess he was listening to see if I was going to call him the devil. That's not my call to make. You know, you have devilish ways, that's on you. I can't say that you, you know, you sold your soul and you gave up some ass to get money. I can't say that because I don't know. I wasn't in the room.
Wow.
And I'm going to get you shot at.
No, I don't want to get shot. Well, I like to get a shout out, but not shot at.
My house is reckless. This show be crazy because, like, so many people go back and listen to it, and they're going to be hitting you up and be like, oh, my gosh, I got to get this book. I've got to get this book because, like, if I don't know nothing else, when it comes to religion and the truth coming out and darkness being exposed, people are on it because everybody is always curious about what's going on because, like, nobody wants to be led astray. And everybody got questions anyway. Is the Bible really true? Did somebody put their own spin on it? How can we see what the real books was that Jesus and the 12 disciples and the apostles was running around with? And for me, when I read the Old Testament, to me, that's like a history book because I like history. And then it's just like Adam and Eve. Then you got Cain and Abel. Then you're like, okay, well, where did the other females come from for them to smash and have families with? So was it, you know, they say Adam and Eve went on to have, I was thinking about something. Adam and Eve went on to have more children. So basically, if that's the case, everybody's like Adam and Eve is the mother and father. And they went on to have other children. And in the Old Testament, it was like incest going on like a mob. So, like, when you started breaking everything down and go back to our lineage, it's like, damn, back in the day, you know, people, family members were screwing each other. So, like, what changed? Why is that so different now? Why is it not acceptable when it was acceptable in the biblical days? So it's just like, oh, so, you know, our ancestors came from brothers and sisters, so brothers and sisters and uncles and aunties, they all was the same people. So it'd be making you wonder, because I'd be like, yo, I'd be having mad questions like, okay, I'm reading the Bible, and it's like really blind faith, so if it's the wrong thing that I'm reading, on Judgment Day, who is going to be held accountable? Because for centuries and decades and stuff like that, this book has been passed down as the truth. That and the Quran, and then, you know, you got your other things from different religions and stuff like that, Hinduism, being whatever, all that other stuff overseas and stuff like that. So then it just makes you wonder, like, okay, what am I really reading? Is this right? And am I praying to the right God? Not that I'm questioning it, but I don't know because you hear so many controversial stories that you don't know which one is true. And you don't want to be caught up in, at the end of time, everything that you believed in was a lie and it was wrong.
You gotta research.
Yeah, that I'd be doing, but I'd be like, okay, I try not to let people get into my head and put their spin and their twist on it, you know what I'm saying? Because you never know what somebody's ulterior motive is for getting you to come over to what they believe in. I always look at different people, but I am a firm believer that you're not about to touch my head. That's one thing you ain't gonna do. If you ain't my grandmother or my mama or, you know, technically my dad or something like that, you ain't about to touch my head because the evil spirits travel through your head and through your feet. I really don't let people play with my feet. You know, sucking toes is different. But sitting there with my feet in my head, no, I'm going to have to pass on that. Because I don't know what you're working with. I don't know what your beliefs are. I don't know how you live. And by no means do I want any of your fuckery rubbing off on me. Like, no shape, no fashion. I'd rather be accountable for the things that I do, knowing that it's wrong, versus somebody feeding me a whole gang of BS, and I kind of sense that it's wrong, but because I want to fit in, I still believe what they tell me and follow their suit, and then I'm doomed. That's just like, you know, in a marriage, it's supposed to be God, the man, and then the woman. I have a hard time being submissive and letting a man lead me. You better be right beside me, or you better get the hell behind me. I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. This is the 20th century. I can't see it. I really can't. This is going to be interesting. And you said that book comes out when?
It may come out sometime around anywhere, either February or March. But it will be out, I would say, within the first quarter of next year.
You guys, y'all have got to get Ebony the Beloved, and then stay tuned for the second book. What's the name of it again?
It's called The Bold and the Ugly Truth.
I would like to thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything else you would like to say?
Oh, yeah, because I am doing, like, a promotion. I'm always doing an ongoing promotional tour for the book. So if anybody out there who would like to interview me, I'd be more than happy, more than willing to be on your show. Anybody, now, this, I would love to get the R&B singer Lloyd involved, because I did mention it. You'll see his name a couple of times in the book. Love getting him to be part of this campaign, Domestic Violence Awareness. I think it would be a good thing for him, because he's so damn underrated. So if you know anybody that runs in the same circle with Lloyd, if you know him personally, definitely have him holler at me. I do follow him on Twitter. He follows me on Twitter, but he's not on Twitter that much. But if I can definitely have him be part of this project, that would be wonderful.
Girl, hit him up on Instagram, because most people have left Twitter and have went to Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, I'm not really into Instagram. So it's funny, I'm here in Atlanta now, so eventually I'll run into him eventually, but my main focus is getting the book out there, doing a lot of, you know, giving the book a lot of publicity. I've also penned, like, three other e-books, actually. They're available on Kindle. I wrote one called My Sharia Moore. Another e-book I wrote was called Payback is a Son of a Bitch. And another book I wrote was called Lloyd 2. It's more like a fantasy, fun type erotica.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's completely fiction. Payback is a Son of a Bitch. And they're all short stories. They're all available on Kindle for
Now, why is a son of a bitch not a bitch? Why is it a son of a bitch? Explain it to me real fast. There you go.
Because you always hear Payback is a Bitch, but I say I'm going to make it stand out. I'm going to go with Son of a Bitch.
Okay, all right, got you.
So
that was something real personal in the word son, and rather than say bitch. Okay, I got you. Yeah,
right.
I got you.
Yeah.
For men that are listening, no, she's not calling your mother a bitch. She's just being controversial. But, you know, sometimes if you feel like your mother may be one, you know, hey, you need to check that. My kids feel that way about me, so don't take it personal. It's not a diss. It's just more of a statement. Look at Mama D and Mama Jones. Them are straight up bitches, but I fucks with them because they're a part of me a little bit.
Definitely. Yeah, so again, people can get Ebony the Beloved on, it's available in paperback as well as on Kindle. You can download the book for $1 if you want to download it to your whatever device that you use, phone or computer. You can definitely download it through any one of those. And you can always get the paperback for $14. Again, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, and eBay.
If you can email me those links and stuff like that, when I write your blog post tomorrow, I will put them in there. Where it's easy for everybody to click on it and then take them to the website to purchase the book.
Okay, wonderful. I really appreciate it. And I'll be sending you an excerpt for the second book. And what else?
We need that.
Yeah, Mr. G, somebody need to lay hands on you, you little evil son of a basket.
I'm going to read that book for sure, though. That's for sure. I'm going to read that book and check it out. And also put it out there and let people know and get it, you know what I'm saying, and tune into it and just kind of follow her and just see what she's doing, you know what I'm saying, in her in her travels and her days being in Georgia. That would be a real good experience for you. And also, too, with the whole Lloyd thing, just kind of feedback, get back with Chuck on that whole Lloyd thing. You get a chance, and we can try to work on that for you, right?
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I do plan to keep in touch. If you haven't, actually, if the female Howard Stern can like send me your information, email me your information,
yes,
and
she
I can. Okay, and what's your name? I'm sorry.
I'm Mr. GA.
Mr. GA. Okay, cool. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, he's cool people. He's very connected in the industry. He's been in the entertainment business for about, let me see, Mr. J, you about 60. You've been in the business about what, 30?
She's a liar. I'm not 60. She's a liar. She's a hater. I can't believe you said that. Now, I've been in entertainment for like 20 years.
I mean, I was off by 10 years. Damn.
Been with 20 years entertainment. So, yeah, definitely get with Chuck my information, and we'll go from there, all right?
Okay, I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you for coming on the show. We really enjoyed having you.
Yes, we did.
I enjoyed being on. It was very wonderful being on here. Oh, and one more thing. You can follow me on Twitter at Boss Lady Writer. Again, Boss Lady Writer, like when you write something. I'm on there all the time. I have a fan page, Hannah Dorothy Spivey. You can hit me up on either one.
No doubt. We got you covered.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome, and thanks for having me on, and definitely
You're
be in
welcome.
Touch with the both of you.
You
okay.
Welcome.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yo, Chuck, that was a good one, huh?
Yes. Hey,
good one, yo.
Are you going to talk, or are you going to sit there and listen like a damn spy?
Dahlia got punked out, yo. Dahlia got like, what was it, last week she was on Twitter talking about eating tricks or some shit. I was like, yo, Dahlia, what's that? She got smart on Twitter. I'm going to cuss her little ass out, yo.
I mean, you know, Jazzy is hit or miss. I guess she ain't really trying to run into Mr. Treehouse no more.
So they got into it, huh?
Man, yes. So she like a hit and miss.
What Dahlia? Where she at? What Dahlia at? Where she at?
She right there.
Dahlia, what's good?
Hello?
Hey!
What's up, Dahlia?
You gonna do what?
nah,
don't
back,
play
right?
me, nigga.
Hey, yo, look, hey, Chuck, she doing, I gotta taste some tricks or some shit. I was like, tricks? I like that.
I had a taste of some tricks yogurt, and he was trying to be fly, talking about, oh, every time I hear the word tricks, I be like,
Every time you hear the word trick, he think about home.
I ain't finna play with him.
There you go. What up, Dahlia?
What's up?
That's my people's day. What's happening?
See, I'm wrong with paying for coochie. Coochie is good.
What?
Nah, man. I think all cats that buy pussy had a fucking dick cut off, for real. That's crazy. That's some wild shit, man.
Cut yours off?
I don't buy it. I never bought it.
Mr. G.A., you're lying.
I
don't know why.
There's
too many people trying to give it away for free.
I know, right? That shit free every day, all day. Now, Chop buy dick. She has bought dick before, Chop. You have bought dick before. You have so.
You know what? I
didn't mind
buying you lunch. That was easy. It was worth that chicken box.
Chicken box. A chicken pox. A strawberry shortcake. Macaroni and cheese.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because when your
KFC
ass
special.
Here, it's going to be more than a motherfucking chicken box that you're going to be paying for. I'm just letting you know.
I'm going to get chopped some pork. Watch it go crazy.
Yeah,
Mommy was crazy. She was crazy for real. She was like, what the fuck was that?
The fucker.
You don't eat pork?
I can't.
Nah.
No, we don't. But she can't, though.
Oh,
but
yeah,
listen,
you're
Dahlia,
allergic or something, huh?
Dahlia, look, man, you should saw her. She was like, what the fuck was in there? Was that, what was it, salad? What was that shit in there, Chuck? What was it you had to eat?
Huh?
What did you eat out there? They had pork inside there at that barbecue we went
some
to.
Some damn baked beans.
Baked beans, yo. She's like, what the fuck, girl? My tongue getting swollen. I was like, oh, shit, yo. She couldn't do no pork at all.
I love me some pork.
I was like, bro, is some pork in these beans? He's like, no, it's not, because they had collard greens with turkey meat. Everything was on point. I started feeling funny. Then down the cook.
She gave me the bad cook look, yo. And he can kill me.
At least it ain't bad to where you have to get one of those things stabbed in your heart. Or is it that bad?
Fuck.
Nah. I take Benadryl, but the last time when I was in Bitchyville and I ended up having the food poison and stuff like that, I actually had to go to the doctor and get a shot.
See, I'm allergic to fruit and I still eat it. Exactly.
You're
story
right
of my life.
What kind of fruit? All fruit?
Yeah.
How about nuts?
Sometimes. I mean, for real, like, sometimes it does get to me. But, like, some days I'll eat fruit and, like, it'll be worse than the other days. But, yeah, it just, I get, like, little hives on my cheeks and then my throat swells up and my mouth start itching and stuff.
Oh, man, it's rough, yo.
But, hey, sometimes it'd be worth it, because that watermelon.
Watermelon.
Lord.
Yo, you come out better just sucking some dick and going about your business.
For real, right?
Not with
suck
a swollen throat.
Well, see, if you suck the dick, you ain't got to worry about the swollen throat.
Because I come and ease down that motherfucker for you, sure.
That's right.
Girl, I'm like, cool, I'm going to put my son to sleep and then I'm going to tune in. Girl, I woke up and I was like, ain't this about a, I fell asleep right with
mm-hmm. That means you must have had some good loving last night, this morning or this afternoon.
Girl, no, I've been so sick, I ain't been.
Or she played with herself, either one. Either.
I've been sick and I've been trying to get better.
Mm-hmm. I've been sick too, girl.
I can't stand y'all.
Chaka new virgin.
Yeah.
She a new virgin. She ain't been taking like 8 months.
If you guys shall know, we made an oath to each other that we're not going to have sex until we get married. But we're getting married soon, so.
What'd you say? What you say, boy? I sneeze. I'm sorry. What you say? I missed that. I just need.
I'm not playing with y'all. Nothing. I let you in and you ruined it.
That's some funny shit, Chuck. You hear that shit, yo? Chuck, you hear that shit?
Mm-hmm.
No fucking in the same house, same bed.
It's been a month.
Next week? Huh?
It's been a month.
It's been a month. And whose idea was that? Yours or his?
Both of ours.
Somebody cheating on somebody.
Nah.
Hey, Chuck.
You don't need to.
You don't need to.
Yeah, you know ain't nothing better out there. Boy, stop.
Man, niggas are greedy.
It's one thing I do not have to worry about.
What, him cheating?
Yep, because he knows. If you want to leave, he could just leave. You ain't never got to cheat. The door is always open.
He don't leave his home with his kid. He loves his kid, though. He don't leave, his kid.
You get married. Wow.
You said what?
Y'all not fucking till y'all get married?
Yeah.
When y'all get married?
We're planning.
Like, how soon?
We're planning.
Like, how soon?
It depends. I don't know.
What?
Depends on funds.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. G, I don't think they're going to be able to make it.
I don't think so. I bet.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys believing in us.
I bet y'all don't go past. They don't go past fucking Thanksgiving or fucking. I bet you, child.
I say New Year's Eve, they gonna break it.
I say you gonna fuck her. You gonna eat a chicken bone and fuck her on Thanksgiving night. I bet you.
Oh, no. That is one thing I can never say I've ever done anything on Thanksgiving. I'd be too full. Oh, no. I'll put food over that any day.
He'll fuck you before you eat, I bet you. I want you on bet. He'll say, enough of this shit, yo. Bend over. Baby. You don't take it, for real.
Oh, Lord. Well, guys, so
why'd y'all decide to say, like, no sex? Women don't say that? You went to church or something?
We just want to wait.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
What, y'all get, like, busy all the time in there?
I mean, for...
Like, damn, we got to slow down.
Yeah. That and... It's like that, and then at the same time, we weren't... Like, we didn't have time. Like, we'll go... Move, Kason. We'll go where we do it a lot, and then we'll have times where we don't. And so it's just like, let's just see if we can hold off.
Because
I always thought when you hold off and then you do it again, it's so much better.
Really?
Mhm. Because you anticipate it, like anticipation.
I think when you fucking,
like,
it's some good pussy. You want to fuck all the time, so. I mean, I don't know. That waiting is a long time. If you fucking like on a regular, that's some good shit. And the shit's good, it's always good. You feel me?
I feel you.
If it's good, it's always good. I mean, for real. That's some serious shit there. But, I mean, I guess waiting is cool, though. I mean, yeah, y'all got a kid, though. Y'all can wait, though. That's cool.
I'm not saying, you know, like, this boy and this dang toy. I mean, like, we've like, decided this before, and then we break, and then we were like, okay, well, let's just see how long we can go again, or, you know, it's just, I guess, testing our temptation to each other.
So no more licking, touching, no more jerking, masturbating, all that kind of shit, just straight nothing, right?
Nothing. But it's actually
no
been easy for me, because I've been sick, like, We've all been, like, sick. Like, I don't know if it's the flu or what.
When you get better, you might want to fuck when you get better, though. You know what I'm saying? It's probably because you're sick now.
Maybe, but...
You going to fight it?
Yeah.
All right, so, Chuck.
I'm
going to try. Send us some kind of pamphlet about how to fight the dick, all right? It's going to be kind of hard for her, though.
Send us a pamphlet on
how to fight the dick. How to fight the dick, you know what I'm saying? She ever had to fight it.
Oh, Lord.
Send a pamphlet, how to fight the dick. No dick, I can say no. Just say no to dick, just say that. Shit like that, you feel me? How's that baby?
How old is he?
Yeah.
One.
Oh, yeah, y'all better start fucking for real. Y'all have two. Like that. You better start fucking for real. Hey, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. They about to have a baby fucking around like that all the time. Damn. That's crazy. We're going to stop fucking. They don't have no time on this shit. No time limit. We're going to stop fucking. He got a badass girlfriend or fiance, whatever. We're going to stop fucking. I don't understand that shit. I'm lost on that one. Why don't he go back to his mother house and you stay there? He pay the bills. That way there's no temptation. You feel me?
I highly doubt he's going to move back in with his mom.
I mean, it's just temporary.
Yeah,
temporary, I'm saying.
I doubt he's gonna do that.
You're gonna fuck tomorrow, Chuck. You're gonna fuck tomorrow, Chuck.
Anywho, next subject.
Yeah, fuck tomorrow.
You guys are boring me.
You are not, boo. We're trying to tell you something about life. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard, yo. You're in the same house.
I mean, I didn't say. Oh, we're. That's why I made a huge emphasis on the word trying.
Oh,
and
trying.
And I told you
okay,
we've done this before and we failed.
Yeah,
I'm not saying we're gonna stick it all the way out to 2025. I'm just saying,
God,
you know,
damn, that
we gonna try.
Fuck.
I'm just saying.
Dang.
I'm not setting no non-realistic goals. I'm just saying, let's just see how long we can go without it.
And because you've been sick, you've been doing good with it, right?
I mean, I haven't been sick for all month, and it's, I mean, we've gone a minute without it, so, I mean,
wow.
I'm not tripping. But I have realized, like, since I haven't like I'm a little less in my feelings.
Oh, really?
I realize I'm a little less in my feelings about stuff, and I'm more, like, getting stuff done and...
Open-minded?
No, not open-minded. I wouldn't say open-minded, just... No, I wouldn't say open-minded, just, you know, like, getting stuff done, because, like, we'd be like, all right, well, we're going to go take care of this, this, that today, and then... Next thing you know, whoop-de-whoop, ain't go nowhere because of that.
Yeah,
you know, like,
right.
And plus
right.
It's cold outside, so it's like, okay.
It's the best time to fuck now. It's cold outside, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, really, I'm already good for nothing during the winter just because I be wanting to be in the house. Like, I do not want to get up. I do not want to do nothing. So... I'll mess around and be like, come on, let's cuddle. And it'll be 8 o'clock in the morning. Next thing you know, we look at the clock and it's dang near going on midnight. So,
Damn.
You gotta get some
stuff. All day afternoon? All day like that?
I mean, I'm
on.
Just saying, like, cuddling. I'm saying, you know, cuddling. Of course, we gotta eat. You know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Hey, Chap.
Yes.
It'll fuck tonight. Hear me? It'll fuck tonight. It's gonna happen. It's going down tonight. It'll fuck tonight. Going down.
Lord.
She said a whole day. God damn, that's crazy. Ain't mad though.
I mean, you know, if you weren't so old, you might be able to do that too.
Yo, shut your ass up, nigga.
How old are you, Mr. GA?
25. She lying.
Or should I call you Father GA?
Nah, I'm 25.
Grandpapa GA.
Yeah,
Granddaddy
right,
GA.
His ass so old, just call him Father Tom.
She a liar. Shut up. She a liar.
Father Tom.
That's fucked up. That's crazy.
Would you like your enema now or later, Father Tom?
She's stupid. Well, listen, I'm gonna go ahead and you know what I'm saying and say this, Dolly. You might do it though for real. You might pull it off though. Just be strong, hear me? Be strong and just fight it. That's all.
I can't take you serious with that evil laugh.
Why? I'm saying it's real. It's
you
real.
Gonna,
like,
everything I say on Twitter, I already know you're gonna turn around and then you're gonna make me think and then you're gonna purposely make me mess up.
Gotta
I'm watching
it.
You. I know you're
but look,
bad.
But look, go to bed with some flannels on. You won't touch it, I promise.
That's
for real,
some flannels?
Yeah, flannels.
Like man pants?
Like, nah, them Dr. Denton bullshit. Them kind of, you gotta put the whole suit on. He won't fuck with you at all, yo. He's like, oh, not this shit.
Oh, like a...
That jumpsuit shit, yeah.
Like a foot
man.
Piece?
Yeah, man, I want to fuck
like
with you.
Like pizza jammers? I yep, have pizza jammers, and he thought they were cute.
Oh, shit. That ain't going to work, then. Get some plaid pajamas, then. Some plaid pajamas. He won't fuck with you on plaid. He's like, I'm not fucking with her. Oh, God, yeah.
Boy,
don't go to bed naked.
I am.
Sexy shit. Huh?
That's the only way I can sleep. I get panicked when I get wrapped up in the covers and stuff, and, like... My clothes catch onto the sheet. So I just eliminate all that.
Mr. GA, I got your kind of show tomorrow. All I'm playing is old school hip hop and rap. Your kind of music. You can't get better than that. It'll make you feel right at home before you go to the nursing home.
You
are. What'd she say? What'd she say, Chad? Smart ass. What'd she say?
Nothing.
What'd she say? Smart ass.
Nothing.
Yes, she did. Slick ass.
What you mean?
All right, so now we're on Instagram now, chat. What are we doing now? We're on Instagram now. What's going on? I saw your thing on Facebook. All your damn Instagram shit you got posted on there. What's that about?
Oh, I'm on Instagram. I'm on everything.
It's not toys, but my artist
demands that I be on Instagram. And that I started my page over because my other page is corked. So before
I saw that.
I'm trying to build up my other page. So right now my new page has 424 followers versus the 10,581 followers on my other one. That that. I don't know what the fuck they be doing. So I'm starting over, then I'm going to delete that page.
I don't even be on Instagram like that. Like,
man, I ain't going to front. I be seeing some crazy shit on there, posting some crazy shit. Like, tonight was the first time I ever posted a text message. Some bitch that hadn't talked to my son in several months texted the phone because my kids used to have my iPhone before I got them their phone, talking about she's pregnant. And I'm like,
what?
And then I'm like, who the fuck is this? She's like, Brittany. I'm like, who are you pregnant by?
Lord.
Man, I cussed my son out like, Trey, who number is such and such and such? He's like, that's Brittany. I was like, why that bitch talking about she's pregnant? I'm like, you got anybody pregnant, I will fucking kill you. He's like, I'm ready to call her right now. I said, you better tell that bitch, this is a new owner on this phone. And he's like, Mom, she just did that because she's like, she ain't heard from me in months. He said, I ain't never heard. He's like,
I could never understand why women did that.
Well, why would
I'm pregnant. Who cares?
Like, the fuck?
I don't know, like, Anytime I've had, like, a pregnancy scare or something like that, I don't even bring it up until, like, you know, whether I know facts or not.
But this bitch was playing. They ain't even fucked before. But what she was saying is you got the wrong motherfucking phone number to be playing on. I was about to call you all kinds of ugly assholes. Then she would have had to get her mom involved, and she would have had to be an ugly asshole, too.
How old is she?
Like, 16, 17? I don't discriminate.
Oh, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I don't discriminate who I cuss out. I will cuss out an infant. She is.
Well, then I cuss my baby out.
She
said I cuss out an infant. Dang, just,
Yeah.
Let me find out you be in the children's cancer ward cussing kids out.
Nah, I won't mess with children that's sick.
Hey, yo. Y'all seen movie called Flight yet?
Uh-uh.
That shit is good, y'all. With Denzel Washington, shit is real good.
I'm gonna see that tomorrow.
That nigga is a true hero, for real.
You know, I ain't
a true hero, for real.
You know, I guess if Mr. G.A. really cared about me, he would bring his ass down here and take me out on a date.
No, because then I might want to fuck you and try to play games. And not give me none. That's going to be a problem.
Me and Dahlia, we're not giving up any pussy. Why can't you just not give up any dick?
Like, that shit, y'all stupid.
I mean, so what you saying? You gotta constantly have some pussy in your life, Mr. G.A.?
Love pussy.
I mean, as soft as your hands is, I thought you could jack your dick all the time.
Fuck you, asshole.
You better talk to Pamela and not Pam.
Pamela. You stupid.
Pamela, not Pam.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to need some new victims, so I'm going to need you to work on that.
Hey, yo, listen. I was on there tonight listening to that kid, what's his nephew Tommy. Man, they got some crazy pranks on people, yo. He was going in on, yo. He got your man Chubb one day, yo, Chubb Rock one day. Ooh. I was laughing at that shit, yo. That shit was funny as hell. You're going to lie at that shit.
I don't want to do no famous people because then once they find out I prank call famous people, then people might not want to come on my show because I'll have their number.
Right.
I mean, I could have been a dirty broad when this one rapper, I'm not going to call his name, wanted to have phone sex. I could have been like, yes, and recorded it and then came back and just made it a chocolate fantasy. I wouldn't have did over it like that.
Hey, Chop.
Yeah.
Can I quote a tweet real fast? It said, I don't mind being submissive to my man. It's hard. It's been hard, but I'm working on it. That's a deep tweet, right? I'm going to say it again. It said, I don't mind
being submissive
to my man. It's been hard, but
what I'm working
on. I was agreeing with
what
Chalk was saying, because she was saying, like, as far as, you know, God, the husband, and then the wife. I say I don't mind being submissive, okay, with certain things, but it is hard.
Man, look.
Especially for a lot of Black women being submissive.
Yeah, because men be like, I'm the man, you walk behind me, no bitch, we as a couple, we walk
exactly.
Behind me.
And see, any man who puts it like that, boy, stop. But I mean, like, as far as, you know, I'll be submissive to somebody who doing what they supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you not, oh, well, I'm the man, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it don't work that way. Just because you a man. Like, having those parts don't make you a man. But,
all this male bashing shit. Where your man at?
Over there, tweet watching.
Put him on the phone. Let's
you
get
better, you better tweet watch, get some lessons, learn how to do some shit.
Tweet watch. The female have a stern. Who is Chalk Mommy 3 and why am I that chick? The numbers don't lie, that's true. Twit pic. That's a nice pic, Chalk.
I don't like that picture. Update.
Which picture?
That's on there. I don't.
Oh shit! Is this you? With the did this dress on? That's you, Chuck?
Yeah.
That's a nice picture.
I don't.
Who shot that? Who shot that?
The same photographer that got me fucked up on the waterfall.
Oh yeah.
Girl.
I'll never shoot with him again.
That's a nice outfit you got on there. Thanks a lot.
Man.
What color was that outfit? Was that brown?
It was like something that he had. But I do got this nice. Okay, Mr. G, you remember the little orange see-through fishnet thingy that I got?
Yeah.
I got a burgundy one with no. It's like a spaghetti strap. That shit is so nice. I've never even tried it on.
You gotta try it on then.
Man.
Now you gotta try it on for me.
Mr. G, you ain't say nothing about my heels. Punk.
In that picture? Hey, nice. I'm on right now. It's hot.
Man.
That shit fly.
I don't
you
know.
You doing your thing, girl.
I don't know. 12 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, you sent me the whole collection. I saw the whole collection you sent me. I said, God damn. She got a lot of shoes.
That was just
huh?
Five. That was only five. You missed it.
That was nice.
Stop. That ain't funny.
When I make my comeback, you know, I'm be rocking my heels.
Girl, yeah, I love me some heels. I gotta send you a couple pictures.
When I finally get me some ding-a-lingy, I'ma be in some heels. I'm a fucking heel. And then I'ma like wrap them around his back and dig them heels in his ass. Then I'm going to bring out the toy.
Oh, no. That's torture.
That'll be all right. No pain, no gain.
Mm-mm.
No pain, no gain. People might see me in New York soon. For a few days. But I won't be out in the public and stuff because it's going to be cold and I got to protect my arm. Now that this
is... Yeah, because it's cold and it's gonna be aching. Poor
yes.
thing.
So, you know, and I don't know if motherfuckers gonna take care of me like they supposed to. It might
be I be
like,
hating the cold, man.
Or, you know, Mr. G.A. be like, when the motherfuckers that just put me outside and be like, I need you to sit here for a second.
Right, I gotta make a run real quick. Mm-mm-mm.
Do me so dirty. But tomorrow is going to be old school, be playing some hot, oh my God, matter of fact, tomorrow is going to be off the chain because I'm playing old school music, but the other day on our radio station, because you know a lot of radio stations in the afternoon, they play like at 12 o'clock, they play old school,
mm-hmm.
They was playing some hot ass old Atlanta music, I'm going to play tomorrow, I'm going to be feeling it like, oh my gosh, girl, like, all I can say is you're going to be in, if you listen, you're going to be in the house, and you and the baby going to be dancing, because you're going to be like, Oh, shit. I ain't heard that in a long-ass time. Oh, I ain't heard that. But,
That's all I'm going to say. But I'll be back tomorrow, 9:30 to 11:30. I've been doing good. I have been doing good. I've been doing all the shows when I'm supposed to. So I will be back tomorrow, 9:30 to 11:30. Old school hip-hop and rap. Join me then. This is Chag Mommy. I love you guys.